Yesterday we left off discussing the halacha that we do not fast or make tanesim or say tachnon or hespedim during the month of Nisan. So we began to discuss what is the reason for it. And we mentioned that on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was put up. So it's a yontif for the Hakamas HaMishkan. And then for the next 12 days, beginning with the first of the month, the Nesiim brought karbanim. Each Nasi on his day, he brought a carbon. And since we're not familiar with which Sheva we belong to, so we go to Chumrah and we take all the 12 days as a Yontif. Kohanim, Levim, which seem to know what Sheva they're from, says the Chasam Sefer, they deserve anyways all the 12 days as a Yontif, because for them it was really a tremendous Yontif that comes to Mishkan. But this only answers the reason for not saying Tachnon through the first 12 days. The 13th day we discussed, we mentioned a few reasons from the different Paiskim, either because on the 13th of the month it's Yisro Chag for the Nasiim, or because it's the day of the Mila of Avram Avinu, or there was other reasons, since most of these days are without Tachnon, so we include this day also. And then we have the next 8 days of Yontif, of Pesach, which is the Yontif, and we don't say Tachron, and then we have Yisro Chag. But what about the end of the month? So says the Masechta Sifrim, which is the source to this halacha, that Chodesh Nisan is a special month. It's the month of the Geula. And if we take a look in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yeches, in Rashi, in the Pirush of Rashi and the Radak, over there, it seems to be clear that it's not that we're going to go out from Golus in Nisan. We may go out from Golus before Nisan. However, it will be in Nisan that the Binyan Habayis will be finished to be built. The Chanukas HaMizbeach will be in Nisan. But since this month of Nisan is a month of Geula, therefore, there's a Yontif to this month, and we don't say Tachron and have fast days during this month. Now, there are those that have the minig to only not say Tachron through the month, including Yisro Chag, but after Yisro Chag, they do start saying Tachron. If I'm not mistaken, the Chazay Nish is from those. However, many other shuls have the minig of not saying Tachron throughout the entire month because of the Simcha and the Zecha for the Zman Habayis of building the Mishkan, building the Beis Hamikdash, as it's explained by many different Mefarshim. There's another minig of the Chodesh Nisan, and that is the minig to read from the Torah, Parshas HaNesiim. And the reason for this is to be ma'ira, the Kedushas Hayayim, what's special about these days. And many are noig to take out a Sefer Torah and to read from a Sefer Torah, which created a discussion among the Paiskim. If one is permitted to take out a Sefer Torah, even though we're not going to be saying Berchas HaTorah, to read a Torah in Rabbin, to read from the Torah without Birchas HaTorah, is a question. There are those that say that there's no source to answer this, and others permit this. And therefore, there are different manhagim between the different kehilos that are noig to read the Parshas HaNesiim after Shacharis each day of the first days of Nisan. There are those that are noig to read it from a Chumash. And there are those that know that the Yechidim, every Yachid reads it on their own. These are, each one follows their minhag. Another minhag that we find during Chodesh Nisan is Berachas HaIlanos. That throughout the year we make different brachas, most of which one says many times, daily or weekly. However, there are some brachas which are unique and we only say once. And one of those brachas is Berachas HaIlanos. The Gemara tells us that when you see a tree which is blossoming, beginning to blossom, you can already see the blossom, the flower blossoming, we make a bracha. And it's brought down that we make this bracha once. Now, even though the Gemara says that we recite this bracha during the month of Nisan, however, the Mishbrura tells us that that's when it's normal. It normally begins, the trees normally begin to blossom during Chodesh Nisan. However, if one did not do during Chodesh Nisan, or one saw the blossoming before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they're permitted to make the bracha, to say the bracha. At what point of growth? Well, when the fruits first begin to grow and there's a little flower surrounding the fruit, that's called the blossoming. Which trees? So it's brought down that if it's a fruit tree, it should be a fruit tree. There's also those places that say there should be two trees over there, but it's not ma'akiv. If it's a tree that was grown through Isser, like Arla, or Arla is not grown through Isser, but if it's still a Arla tree, or if it's Klayim, better not to say on those trees. But this is another minig, which is for during these days of Chodesh Nisan. Let's move on to the next Simin in Shulchan Aruch, which is Simin Tuf Lamed. In Simin Tuf Lamed, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the Shabbos before Pesach. The Shabbos before Pesach, we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Why is it Shabbos HaGadol? Because of the nes that took place. However, Rashi, in his Sefer HaParadeis, in Machzor HaVitri, he says, I don't know why this is called Shabbos HaGadol. Why is this any more Gadol than any other Shabbos of the year? And from there, many other Paiskim can begin to give different explanations to why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. One shot that is brought in the Sefer HaParadeis and the Shibboleth HaLeket, because since the Rav is noyig to give a drasha, as we spoke about yesterday, that we begin dashing about the halachas of Pesach, the Rav gives a drasha on Shabbos HaGadol. So the Om is ma'acher, the Om stays later in Shul, and it feels like it's a long Shabbos. It feels long and dragged out. So that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. Another pshat that's brought down is because this was the first Shabbos that Klal Yisrael entered into mitzvahs. They got their first mitzvahs. Another pshat is because when they went out of Mitzrayim, so the 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos. And it was on the 10th of Nisan that they had to put aside the seh, the lamb that they were using for the carbon Pesach. They had to put it aside. And when the Mitzrayim saw them taking their Avodah Zarah, the teeth of the Nisim grinded. The Shineim Kahu, they grinded and they were like, what are they doing to our Avodah Zarah? And Klal Yisrael were able to look at them and say, we're using it to be makriv it, to bring it as a carbon to the Rabban Shlomo. And that was on, that 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos. So even though the nest was really on the 10th of Nisan, not on Shabbos, but they wanted to be to go convey it on a specific day. The Ramah brings down the minig that Shabbos afternoon of Shabbos HaGadol to read from the Haggadah, beginning with Avodah Meyinu until Lechaper Al Kol Avinaseinu, and we stop saying the Pesukim of Baruch Hinashi. This minig is actually found already in the Sifrei HaGaonim. There are many Gaonim that bring this minig down. Some give the reason in order to be miragal ourselves, so we should get used to the words of the Haggadah, so that when we sit down to the Seder, we'll be prepared and ready to, that it should flow, not that we're making a laning on it. However, it's a cheney. There were many that were misnagi to this mini. The Gra in his Bior is very misnag to this mini. He says, as we say in the Haggadah, that Davka b'shosh v'matzo mara munachim lefenecha. The mitzvah of saying the Haggadah is Davka when the matzah mara is placed in front of us and not earlier than that. So again, each one follows their minig of whether to say the Haggadah Shabbos afternoon or not. Now we could post the Mar Makaymas. Zevi? Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna start right now and then you'll see the Maram HaKaymus. Maram HaKaymus are now for the next set of simanim, which discuss the mitzvah of not having chametz in your rishus, bir chametz, bedikas chametz, and the halachas concerning mainly bedikas chametz. So we have over here the pasuk in the pasuk in in Shemais, we have the pasuk in Shemais Parag Yigimel pasuk Gimel. The pasuk over here tells us v'lo ya'achal chametz. There's the issa v'achilas chametz. And actually, from this pasuk itself, the Gemara in Pesachim learns out that there's not only an issa to eat chametz, but so too there's an issa to benefit from chametz. There's an issa hana, an issa to benefit from the chametz. And the Gemara goes on for like 2-3 blat with different ways of learning it out from this pasuk. But there's an issa to eat chametz and to benefit from the chametz. We also have another pasuk in Parak Yud Gimel, pasuk Zayin, that tells us, there's issa for chametz to be seen in our rishos. Similarly, we have another pasuk that says, this is what's known as bal yira u'bal yamatze. There's issa for chametz to be seen or to be found in our rishos. And these are the lavim. However, there's an assay. Besides the lavim, there's an assay, which is the pasuk of Ach Bayom Rishon Tashpisus Sa'armi Batechem. One should be mashpis. They should destroy the sa'ar, the chametz, from Yerushas. There is a very interesting chakira, which Reb Chaim discusses, the Mechas Chinuch discusses, and many other achronim get involved in. Whether the mitzvah tashvisu is a kum va'aseh, is it a mitzvah that I need to get up and actually do? I need to acquire chametz and then to destroy the chametz? Or it's a mitzvah sheva taseh. The mitzvah is that if you have chametz, get rid of it. If I don't have chametz, I'm a kaim the tashvisu sar without having chametz. So that's, we have here three lavim and an aseh. The Mishrura explains to us that the pasuk Ach Bayom Rishon, Ach is always a miut. Ach has come to tell us that the Din Tashbis already begins on Erev Pesach from Chatzais of the day. From Chatzais of Erev Pesach, it's already usher to eat and to benefit, even though for eating and benefiting from the chametz, one will not be chayev, a chayev kareis, until the night. And similarly for Bayiro, Bayimotzei, many poskim hold that one's not over it unless he leaves it over going into Pesach. However, the mitzvah's tashvis already begins from the sixth hour on Erev Pesach. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, the Mishnah starts off, with Arla Ba'asa Baitkin Sachomets La Arhane. By the evening, or the evening of the 14th of Nisan, we are Baitik, we search for the Chomets by the light of a candle. Now, this is, according to some Shittas, maybe even a Dindoraisa, that we have a Chiv Doraisa to search for the Chomets. Others hold that it's a Takanas Chachomim. What is the reason for this Takana of Bidikas Chomets? So Rashi tells us, in order not to be oiva, on Bayiro Bayimatze. This lav that we learned earlier, that one should not have in their rishus any type of chametz, shouldn't be seen or found in their rishus. In order to prevent that, we need to do a bedika. Tosfos learns the reason is because we're worried that perhaps one will come to eat it on Pesach. Perhaps if one will have chametz lying around, they're not used to separating themselves like other Yisurim, which are also throughout the year. You have early, you have Klei Kerem, you have many other Yisurim, which are Issa Achila and Issa Ano, and we don't find any Din Bedika or any Din Bior. But since this is a type of Issa, which throughout the year is Mutter, so perhaps one could mistakenly come to eat it on Pesach. So therefore, Chazal, or the Torah, according to Tosfos, it's Chazal or Misake, that one should do a bedika to search for it and get rid of it in order that he won't come to eat. The Gemara tells us that even though one is baidik, they need to be mevatel. And the Gemara goes on to discuss, if I'm searching for it and I'm going to get rid of it, why do I need to also do bittel? And if I'm doing bittel, why do I need to do bedika? Bittel, we'll discuss more later on how we actually do bittel. What does it mean to do bittel? But bittul basically is then I am saying that this chametz is like dirt to me. I no longer view it as something with value. And once I do that, I was mekayim in the midst of tashvisu. It's destroyed. It's gone. So the question, the Gemara is, so why do I need to be baidik? Let me just be mevatel. It's a lot simpler. Says the Gemara, basically, that there's a gzera that perhaps on Pesach you'll find a gluski yafa, a nice cookie, a nice cake, and you'll undo your bittel by having machshavi. You know what? I want to save this cookie. I want to save this cake. And by doing that, you'll be over. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, besides bedika, one has to do bittel, and bittel has to do bedika. And that's the mishbur of the simtav lam and aleph. Sivkot and Beis, the mishbur is telling us that one needs to do both. Chazal were machmer on us. That's not enough. One needs to do both. We need to do bittel and bedika. Another issue is bittel is really dependent on a person's mindset. A person has to have the true mindset that this is batal and it's hefker and it's considered like dirt, which not always is that easy to do. Pretend you're take your chashuva whiskey bottle. Not easy. So therefore, besides bittel, we also do bedika. So we do both. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that before one does their bedika, they need to clean the house. And that's the Ramah over here. One needs to sweep and clean throughout their rooms, the rooms of the house, before they do bedika. And the reason for that is because if you're going to start cleaning your house when you're doing your bedika, you're never going to make it through. Could you imagine? As you're doing the bedika, you're first cleaning, sweeping, sponging, mopping, searching. It's not going to go. So therefore, in order to do a good bedika, in order to be able to check if there's any chametz lying around that needs to be gotten rid of or locked up or put away or whatever it may be, one needs to first clean well all the areas of the house. And after he finishes cleaning it, now I could do a bedika. The Mishmur is bothered. If I'm already cleaning the house well, and we know we do a good job at cleaning, so that at the time of bedika, why am I searching? What am I searching for? I already cleaned the house very well, says the Mishmur, because there are chayrim vizdakim. There are cracks and crevices in the floors and the walls of the house. And we're worried that even though you cleaned well, but perhaps some chametz got stuck in the cracks and the crevices. And that maybe in these cracks, we're talking about cracks which are large enough that you could fit a kezayis of chametz, and one will be oivan b'yura b'yimatzei. So therefore, we need to do now bedika to check the chayrim v'zdak and to check the cracks and crevices that are around the house to make sure that there's no chametz over there. Now, it's interesting, if you ever realize when they send out the bedika sets in the mail from the Telzi Yeshiva and other places, so it comes with a wooden spoon, a feather, and a card with obviously the bittel and the brachas, and a bag to put the chametz into. Says the Mishnah Brura that because we're searching the chayrim v'zdakim, therefore we need a feather. The feather is to sweep out from the cracks whatever chametz may be stuck in there to get rid of it. So that's the reason for the feather. We'll see soon why there's a wooden spoon also. Now, tell you it's low battery. So now the Aruch HaShulchan points out that we the Aruch HaShulchan points out that we wash and we sweep. We do a very good job. We do even better than the kibbutz that the Ramah was talking about. We do really a good job. As Rav Shlomo Zalman also writes in the Tshuva, he says, our women clean very well, a lot better than the ravens that come to eat the food in the chatzah that we rely on. They do a very good bedika. So we're left with a question. If we do a very good bidika and we don't have these cracks and crevices in our houses, so what are we doing a bidika for? Now, before we continue with this question, what are we searching for? We're cleaning the house. We're doing the first halach, which is to be mechabed chadorov. We're sweeping out the rooms. We're searching in the rooms. What exactly are we looking for as we're going through the house when we're cleaning for Pesach? And this is important, especially this year, where people are under a lot of stress and not allowing their cleaning crews into the house, and they have to do it themselves. So what is the minimum? What are we doing in order for Pesach, for the sake of Pesach? So the Gemara tells us that pirurin are crumbs, halay chashivi. Pirurin are not chashiv. And as the Rach explains, that they're bottle on their own. They're as if they're not there. Crumbs, little crumbs lying around on the floor, crumbs of chametz, is not what we're worried about. What are we worried about? So here, there's a Taz, which brings out a very interesting point. He says, and even if you're going to tell me that in order to be Oivan by Yerob by Yematze, there must be the size of a Kezias, but that's good, according to the reason of Rashi. Rashi, who learned that our Bedik, our cleaning, and our searching is for pieces not to be Oivan, the Lava by Yerob by Yematze, so it's enough to get rid of the pieces which are a kezias, size of a kezias. However, according to Tosfos, that the reason why we do bidika and we do beer is to get rid of all chametz, that I won't come to eat the chametz, so then I should have to search for even pieces which are less than a kezias. So let's take a look at these halachas over here. Very interesting set of halachas, which will shine light on what to look for. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that if, let's say, I have a dough that's stuck in my wooden kneading trough, my wooden kneading bowl. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if there's a kezias of dough stuck in one spot, I need to get rid of this bowl. But if not, and the dough is stuck there to hold the pieces of the bowl together or to stuff up a hole, it's batel. If it's not there to hold the bowl together, then I need to get rid of it. Says the Mishnah Berurah over here, Achin be'emes, yesh machlekes bein ha'paiskim b'zeh. There's a machlekes between the paiskim. According to many paiskim, even if it's less than a kezias, you need to get rid of it. However, these are very important words. V'davka kesheroi la'achila ketzas. Davka if it's possible to be eaten. But if it's somewhat dirty and it's less than a kezias, you do not need to get rid of it. And so on, if you take a look at the next halach and sibches and the mishbur over there, I'm just rolling down. If you go down, the sharitzian, what comes out from over here is as follows. And let's make it clear. Crumbs, small crumbs lying around the floor, we're not concerned about. We're not sweeping and sponging to get rid of the crumbs. Pieces of chametz, which are a kezias big, like a piece of bread, a piece of cake, a piece of pretzels, cookies, which are the size of a kezias, which is like the size of a small matchbox, that we have to get rid of. Yes, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that. What about something which is less than a kezias, but more than a crumb? The answer is, if it's not metun of kezias, which means that if there's a chance that one would by mistake pick this up and put it into their mouth, then we need to get rid of it. But if it's lying in a place where it's already metun of kezias, it's a little dirty, somewhat dirty, dirty enough that one would not think of putting it into their mouth, one does not need to get rid of that. Now, the minig that many people have, which is to wash down the house and clean the house, that there shouldn't be any chametz left over there, it's based on a Yerushalmi that the Shulchan Aruch actually brings down. The Yerushalmi says that the minig was to Ligara hakasolavaki sois, to scrape the walls and the chairs that chametz may have came in contact with it. And the Mishmura tells us you shouldn't laugh at those that do that. The Sharetzin explains to us that even though there's really no reason for it, but Yisrael kedoy shemein v'nog lahachmer afilu b'mashu, and they're not to be machmer even by a mashu. The what's important for us to keep in mind is back in those days, they lived in one-room houses. The entire home was one room, divided into different parts. So back then, it might have been a little more possible to, on their own, without help, to fulfill this. Nowadays, that we do have many rooms, some of us have many floors and big houses, it's not simple to do that. And the minig is that one should not exert themselves or stress themselves out in a way that they can come into Pesach feeling like I'm a shmata. What am I doing? And they're not going to appreciate Pesach. So they have halacha lemaisa, and this is based on the truth of Rav Moshe over here, is that what we're searching for when we're cleaning the home, when we're cleaning whichever parts of the house we're cleaning, which we'll discuss soon, where and what. The parts of the house that we're cleaning, we're looking for pieces of chametz that may be smaller than a kezayis, but they're fit to be eaten, and one could come to eat them by mistake. There is a chayadam and a chazayin ish, which holds that we are looking for crumbs. We are searching for crumbs, and that's why you may have heard that the chazayin ish held that one has to check their svarim, because perhaps there are crumbs of chums left in the svarim. However, most paiskim in this way, we're noig, according to the Mishnah Brura and Rav Moshe Feinstein and other great paiskim, we're not searching for crumbs. Therefore, one does not need to clean their svarim. The Chazon Ish used to sell his svarim to a guy. The stipler was noig like that, and then they would hang a curtain in front of the svarim, so that they won't come to use the svarim over Pesach. But again, now, practically speaking, the zmirois that one uses at the Shabbos Seuda, or the Berachas HaMazon that one uses at the table when eating, or any types of sidurim that are used during the time of Seuda, one should put them away, because they may have chametz left in them, and that may fall into our food, and we'll come to eat it on Pesach. But other svarim, one does not need to clean or search before Pesach. This includes svarim or books. One should keep in mind that if they are going to bring those svarim that they used at a table where there was food on Pesach, they can be using these svarim or books on Pesach. They should not use it by their table in case there is a crumb and it gets onto the table. It might get into your food and you might come to eat even a mashu of chametz is also to eat on Pesach. I forgot to mention that before, that the Issa Achila includes even a very small amount, like a mashu. So you don't want that to happen. A Eitza would be is that maybe those few sperm that you know that you could be using over Pesach, maybe those sperm you should clean and make sure that they're clean from crumbs before Pesach. Or on Pesach, put out on the table a plastic bag or a tablecloth, especially what you're going to use when you put your sperm onto the table, and then you fold up the tablecloth and you don't eat off that tablecloth. Now, when it comes to cleaning chairs, dining room chairs, kitchen chairs, couches, and the such, where maybe chametz got stuck to them, it's enough to take a wet cloth with any type of soap agent. Does not need to be bleached. Could be any type of soap and just, or any type of cleaning agent, and just wipe over the chair, wipe over the couch, and that's enough, because by doing that, you made whatever chametz that's stuck over there mitun of kitzas, and we no longer have a worry that one will come to pick it off and eat it, because it's definitely mitunif. tables we need to be a little more concerned about because we can be eating at the tables. So as a suggestion, clean the table well, just wash it down, put like a plastic tablecloth over the table, and then put your tablecloth over that plastic tablecloth. So in case there is still a mash of chametz left on the table, it will not get into your food. Any types of clothing cabinets, closets throughout the house, one is only mechuyev to clean those that there's a chance that chametz might have been brought over there. So if you have shelves, low shelves, high shelves, young children running around, if there's a chance that the young children reach the lower shelves, so then one should just take the clothing off the shelf, wipe it down, put the clothing back on. No need to cover the shelves. Fine. The higher shelves where chametz didn't reach, there's no reason why you need to clean those. In the kitchen where we're going to be storing our Pesach products and we're going to be cooking for Pesach, So over there, we have to be extra careful. Over there, if we know that we were able to scrub and wash it down well, that's definitely enough. If we're not sure about it, then just put some kind of cover over the shelf. And like this, if there's any mashal of chametz, we'll not get into our food, not to make such a big deal about it. The refrigerator, the freezer, again, wash down well. No need to cover it if it's washed well, especially if it's glass shelves. You could just rinse it and wash it. That's fine. Now, we mentioned before that the reason for the bedikas chametz, if they clean the house already and cleaned it well, everything's clean, everything's cleaned well. So what are we doing bedikas chametz for? So we mentioned before for the chayim mizdakim. But in our houses where we don't have chayim mizdakim, and we already cleaned it well earlier. So what's the reason for the bedikas chametz? So I'm going to go down now to the Shari Tshuva over here. The Shari Tshuva says as follows. It says, because of this halacha that we sweep and clean the house beforehand well, mikilim ha'mine am livdai derech ha'vara b'li chippus heitiv b'chayim mizdakim. This is why many people are nog that when it comes to the bedikah, they do it derech havara. They do it quickly. They just go through the house, 1, 2, 3. It takes them 5, 10 minutes, and that's enough. But again, what are you actually doing? So what are you doing? You're just walking through the house. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Halicha Shlema, a beautiful hagdara. It's like a checklist. It's more or less a checklist. I'm walking into the kitchen, which is already Pesach Dik. Pesach food is cooking. It's smelling good from the Pesach food. I'm walking in the kitchen. I'm looking around. And I'm asking, did we clean the table? Did we clean the closets? And those closets where, those pantries, those closets where there's going to be chametz stored, are they sealed shut? Is there a seal on it saying sold to the guy? The cabinets where there's chametz dika pots, comes like a pans. Is it closed? Is it closed off that I won't come to use it by mistake on Pesach? Then I move on to the dining room. I look around the dining room. We have here, oh, what about the benches that we use every Shabbos? The zmirais, do we put them away? Is the table prepared for Pesach? Was the table clean? Is the table covered, ready to be used for Pesach? How about the drawers? How about the different places where we bring chametz during the Suda? Are those clean for Pesach? That is what I'm doing. I move on to the bathroom, the medicine cabinet. We'll discuss medicines. Do I need to get rid of medicines? Do I need to get rid of shampoos, cosmetics? We'll discuss. But with those things which may need to be getting rid of, that I need to go through. I need to check, was that taken care of or not? So the bedikas chametz of nowadays is basically just going through the house, making sure that when we cleaned the house, it was cleaned properly, and all those chametz thicker things that need to be put away are put away and sealed off and closed. And that's with the Das Torah and the Vakshi Torah being from Shlomo Zalman, the idea. Which this brings us to the minig that many of us have to put out 10 pieces of bread. The reason for this minig of putting out 10 pieces of bread was because we're worried that the cleaning process was done so well before Pesach, and I'm not going to find chametz, perhaps this is considered a bracha levatala. The bracha that I'm going to make before the bedikas chametz on bir chametz, I'm not going to find chametz. So therefore, there was a minig established by many great people to put out a piece of bread so that one will find the bread and will find the bread and will be able to destroy this bread. In the Sefer Tmim Deim, which is derived, he says it's a Maisa Noshav Eilei Sharish. This is a Vaibisha thing, has no source to it. And this created a big machlokes between the Paiskim of when I make the bracha before the Bedikas Chametz, Abir Chametz, what am I saying? Am I actually saying that a bracha because I'm going to be fulfill the mitzvah Abir Chametz and thereby I must find bread for that? Or Abir Chametz means if I will find bread, then I will do Abir Chametz, if I find Chametz. And therefore, there's different minhagim of whether to put out the 10 pieces of bread or not. There are some paiskim that say that nowadays, where we don't have the chayim mistakim, where we clean well, it's more me'ikra din. Me'ikra din, one needs to put it out. One needs to put out the 10 pieces of bread. And therefore, many have the minig to put it out. But like I mentioned, there are different minhagim. Now, when putting out these 10 pieces of bread, one has to be very careful that they don't crumble and fall apart and then you end up with a bigger mess than you started with. And number two, one should also put out pieces which are less than a kezias so that if you don't find them, then you won't be over by your Abaye Matzi. It's brought down from the Arizal that one should put out 10 pieces and all 10 pieces should equal the share of kezias. So tomorrow when I go to do bir chametz, sreifas chametz, I'll have equal to a kezias and be mekayim the mitzvah with a kezias of chametz. That's the further down, the Shari Tshuva Taflam Beis, which says, Nochen ledakte shiyu ketan pachas mi kezias, that should be less than a kezias. However, when gathered together, they should equal a kezias. Now, this brings us to why we have a wooden spoon. Because the Ramah tells us that if you're not going to find chametz when you're doing bedika, what are you going to do sreifas chametz with? Says the Ramah, yisreif akli shalakach lebedika. Burn the kli that you took with you to do the bedika in order that you won't forget. Chayvas abior. So now we understand why we have a feather. Now we understand why we have a wooden spoon. And the Aruch Shulchan goes on to quote this Ramah, and he says that the reason for the wooden spoon is the same reason why we put out the 10 pieces of bread. As we mentioned before, there are certain areas of the house which one is closing off and renting out to the guy or selling to the guy. In Gemara, it says that you need to build a mechitza in front of the chametz of a goy rishos, which means there should be off limits from you so that you won't come to eat it. So therefore, those areas which are being sold to the goy have to be sealed off and closed and preferably done during the bedikah or before the bedikah. The Mishnah Berurah further down and Taflam Vav tells us that there are different days between the paiskin. If the mechira, when I'm selling the guy, beginning with Erev Pesach in the morning, do I need to do a bedik over there or not? And many paiskim are makel on that. Let's jump down now to the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tov Lamed Aleph Sifkat Ches. There's a question that comes up, do I daven Meir first or do I do a bedik first? Now, it's interesting, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Ar Laba Asa. Why is it Ar Laba Asa? Why is it Ar Laba Asa? Ar means light. Even though the Gemara goes on to discuss that Ar is night. So the Rishonim point out that It should be at the beginning of the night. Beginning of the night, while there's still a little R outside. So we're beginning the Bedika at the beginning of the night. Should I daven Meir first or not? Says the Mishnah, the Indians feel us Meir. Those that normally daven Meir, Bizmanoi, with a Tzibar, and there's going to be a Tircha to get together people afterwards to daven Meir, they should first daven Meir. However, do not waste time. Go directly home to do the Bedika. And that's the meaning that many people daven Meir, Bizmanoi, at the first possible time. Then they go home and do the Bedika. Others do the Bedika, and then later on in the night, they do the, they daven Meir. But one should be careful not to forget to do, to daven Meir. The Shmur brings down that before one begins doing the Bedika, he should wash his hands. And it's because of Nikios, which is a very interesting idea, as they brought down from the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril uses the Lashon of the entire Yodav Ayidei Netila. One should be mitayer his hands through netila terem sheyivarech al bedika before he makes the bracha on the bedika. The kol hamivarech tzarch nikiyas yadayim mikaydem. We know, as we know, one always needs to have clean hands before they make a bracha. But there's a specific stress over here that he should be mitayer his hands on the with netila and the marshal. Marshal at the end of the tshuva says mikaydem hasheyivdayk. If the hands are cleaned already, there's a certain chashivas for the mitzvah that we wash our hands beforehand, shows a certain chashivas for the mitzvah. So we daven Ma'ariv, we come home, wash our hands, and now we're ready to begin the bedika. Koidim sheyaschol livdak yivarech, before one begins doing the bedika, he recites Ashekit Shalom in Sweet Vitivanu Al Bior Chametz. Even though you're about to begin the Bedika, the beer itself is actually not going to take place until tomorrow when we burn the Chametz. But since this is the beginning of the beer process, we already could say Al Bior Chametz. If let's say one said Levayer, he's Yaitza. If one said Al Bedikas Chametz, this is a question. Whether you're yaitza or not, the bracha, do I need to make new bracha or not? Because the nusach of the bracha is bior. However, from the Paiskin's mashman, that you do not make another bracha, and you'll have to remember next year to say, al bior chametz. There is a discussion, like I mentioned, if we're doing the bedika now, so why we, so has the lashon of bior come in, either because this is the beginning of the bior process, or the Lashon Bior itself sometimes means emptying the house and searching for it is emptying the house from the chametz. Now, one should be mechavin at the time of the bracha that he's also, the bracha is not just going on the bedika, but it's also going on the beer of tomorrow, the sreifas chametz that I will be doing tomorrow. It's going back on both. Whether one has to stand when he's doing the bracha or not is a discussion in the Paiskim. Prim Gadim says that it's usually totally in how the mitzvah is done. A mitzvah that's done by standing, the bracha also should be done by standing. Therefore, one should preferably stand at the time when they're making the bracha. The Shachyanu is interesting. This is a mitzvah that doesn't come up every day. It comes up once a year. So one would think to make Shachyanu, however, and there are those shittas, however, halacha l'maisa, we do not make Shachyanu, we do not say Shachyanu before Bedik is coming. So we came home, we washed our hands, made the bracha, al bior chametz, and now we're ready to begin our Bedika, and one should not be mafsik between the Bedika and his starting of doing the mitzvah, which is a rule by all mitzvahs. We're never mafsik between the bracha and the start of the mitzvah. If one's mafsik between the bracha and the start, one needs to make the bracha again. Once he started the bedika, so then it's brought down Shulchan Aruch, toiv, it's best not to be mafsik, not to speak about words that are not negated to the bedika's chametz itself, until you finish doing the bedika for a very practical reason. One may get caught up in a conversation and forget to finish doing the bedika. Therefore, one should wait until after he finishes before he starts talking about the news or what's up in the news. Now, one bracha could go for a few places. One bracha could go for the whole house. And therefore, one who has a home, an office, a car, he can make one bracha, do the bedik in the house, and then go to the car, and then go to the office. And that's enough. We'll have to discuss this year that it may be difficult to leave the homes. Hopefully, by then we'll be free. Be free to do the mitzvahs in the most modedik way. But if one cannot leave the home, so then he'll be able to do a bedik at home. What does he do with Shreifas Chametz? Me and Hashem will discuss that in upcoming shir. But one bracha is good for many places. Now, if someone has a big home, many rooms, many floors, can he have other people do the bedikah for him or with him? Best that he should be involved because it's a mitzvah by yoisim yibishluchai. You always say it's better to do a mitzvah on your own than to do it through a shliach. However, he could rely on his wife, or the Mishmur says, kitanim. You can even have, you have reliable young children that know how to search for chametz or make sure that everything was done properly. You can rely on them also. Other places we're not so excited about. Kitanim, this is a discussion that comes up by other mitzvahs, by tefillas kelim, can I send my young child to be tevel keli for me, etc. Do they have neimanus or not? But for sure, from 13 years old and up, one could rely on them, so one could divide the job between the different children of the house. But based on the way we were magdid the B'dikas Chametz earlier, it shouldn't really take you that much time to do the B'dikas Chametz as long as you did a very good, very well cleaning beforehand. The Ikra is in the stairwell, is upon all the people that live in the building. They are to clean the stairwell. Now, like we mentioned before, that even though R means at night, the best time to do it is as early as possible, which creates dinim upon the person that once it comes time for the B'dikas Chametz, he has to refrain from doing certain activities, and Mitzvah Shem will discuss that tomorrow, and some more dinim that are negeya to the B'dikas Chametz we'll discuss tomorrow, beginning with the next set of halachas over here. I'm open for questions now. Anyone who has a question could call in. Yeah. So we understand.
Okay, camera, try not all at once. Okay, so we have a question. I know somebody sent me a message about a question. One second, we'll start from there and then we'll open the floor. We had from, if he's still here, but okay, we're going to open the floor right now. And
very fine.
Okay, anybody who has a question can ask. Anybody who wants to mute themselves can mute themselves.
I'm calling right back.
Rabbi, the vent on top of the stove, the vent fan, does that need to be cleaned? Is there a shash that comments going to fall on the pot? Maybe you're cooking?
So that's a good question. Shem will discuss the electric appliances separately, but once you ask, you need to be practical. If there's a chance
oh, you care, you can
conversation or gather.
Fire alert. Where's the product?
And then one has to either cover it,
you listening,
or clean it very well.
Whatever we make, we get 50-50. Is that confirmed? Okay, Steve Teitelbaum wants them for a guy. Now he wants to drop us down to 85.
How to cover kitchen counters?
Yeah, so I'm gonna get to cashing and more.
Why you can't tell the guy you have a buyer right now for 75? Gonna get 10 cents.
Probably tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow we'll discuss more about appliances. Once we finish the din bedika, we'll discuss a little more about the kitchen and covering and cleaning more.
Steve claims he's on it for 90. He's a liar. I told him 90.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yeah, Rebbe, we're just trying to figure out the best way to be able to in order to give. So you're not.
Maybe people just send it in to you.
Yeah, so people can send it in to you,
and you'll read the questions.
Or somebody could raise their hand on the video. That actually could work. If somebody like motions on the video, I could see everybody on the video. I'm happy to open it, but we just can't open up the floor to everybody because we're hearing everybody's, you know, conversations. Anybody they have any questions, anything specific that they want to ask? Right now, let's see if we can see on the video. We have some people on the phone, but it's a little bit more complicated to be able to see them. Okay, we have Ozzy Deutsch. Okay, fantastic. Ozzy figured out how to raise his hand. Okay, so we're going to have Ozzy. Okay, let's do this. Unmute. Okay, Ozzy. We have Ozzy over here. Bechavod. Ozzy, there? Children helping out. Ozzy, we can't hear you.
Children helping out.
You have to be practical, meaning if they're old enough that you can rely on them, that they cleaned well, then you can rely on them. However, if they're not old enough, then let them help out and then just check over afterwards. You could, if you want, at the time of the Dika, just look over whatever the children cleaned to make sure that it was cleaned well. Same thing with your cleaning lady. Every year there are stories that the cleaning lady was supposed to clean and clean, but did not clean well. So make sure that they clean, just check over afterwards.
Any other questions? Anybody else? I think you have the ability. You can raise your hand. You know, there's a button to raise your hand, or you can make a motion on the video. You can unmute yourself. Okay, Rebbe, I think we're good for right now.
Good. Okay, great. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. And Zevi, thank you very much. It gives me such a pleasure to be able to be part of the world. Thank you. Kol tov. Hatzlacha rabba.
Kol tov.